Welcome to the Science of Parenting podcast, where we connect you with research-based information that fits your family. We'll talk about the realities of being a parent and how research can help guide our parenting decisions. I'm Mackenzie Johnson, parent of two littles with their own quirks, and I'm a parenting educator.
And I'm Lori Cordles, parent of three in three different life stages. One is launched, one is in college, and one is in high school, and I am a parenting educator. And this is our last week in this season.
Yes, the last episode of season four. It went so fast.
It did go fast.
It did. A lot shorter than our last season ones, I guess. So that makes sense that it feels fast.
That's true.
But yeah, we've been able to talk all about this parenting approach, digging into these different components of it. And so today we get to talk about the last one, right? We get to talk about modeling. That's the final M. I know the suspense has been killing you, except for I think we already told you. So maybe you were in suspense.
Yes.
So yes, today we talk about modeling, right?
We are. And I think that you maybe had a moment of genius thought regarding this season. Do you want to share that now or hold us in suspense for later?
Okay, actually, because I know something about later, I think I'm going to hold, I will build suspense that way. Yes.
Okay. All right.
So you can hang on for that. I promise I'll tell you my stroke of genius that I had. But we do want to remind you, as we think about this approach to parenting and the different tasks that we do around modeling and monitoring and preventing, that parenting does require a lifelong perspective. Right? Not just the itsy bitsies of each and every day. It's this buildup of over time, the relationship that we have with our kids. And so we don't want you feeling any shame or guilt or blame from us as we talk through these different tasks we have with parenting. We know it is built over time, and one day is just that. It's just one day. So we get to have this lifelong perspective with parenting our kids. So same thing goes for modeling. Lifelong perspective of how we model for our kids.
I like how you said that. It's just one day in a lifelong role of parenting. And I think that we can sometimes be so overwhelmed with our parenting role that, gosh, when you just described it that way, it's just one day.
Yes. Ooh, I actually had like a whole little moment like a week or two ago where it was like, oh, this day, and about my parenting, like with my kids. And I just felt like I couldn't do it. And I actually had to tap into some other resources that I had with some local support. And I did, at the end of that day, I did have to say to myself, like, this was one day.
One day.
This was one day, and we get a whole lot of other days. Just one day.
Exactly. Exactly. So, okay, here we are, our final episode of season three. Should we start with a definition?
Always.
All right. So remember, our word today is modeling, and our definition for modeling is going to be this. So modeling is about using our own words and actions to show others, our children, our desired behavior. And research shows that this is especially important with kids because children learn as much, if not more, from your actions than they do your words. Okay, yeah, not very surprising, right? We as parents, grandparents, you know, aunts, uncles, we know that children are watching us.
Absolutely, and we're constantly reminded.
And we are constantly reminded that they are watching us, right?
Yes.
Listening
of
to
all
us.
All the terms that we cover in the season, I feel like modeling is the one that people are probably like, okay, yeah, like I know.
Got
like,
it. Yep.
Like, all right, I know what that is. I don't need a definition. So yes. We won't belabor the definition. Instead, we'll go into a little bit more of the research on it. And remember, a lot of this season is based on this publication from the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Development. And so a little bit more research on the why. Like, okay, yeah, people always say this about modeling for our kids. What does research tell us about it?
Exactly.
And it's not that surprising again.
It's not.
Research says that kids imitate, right?
They do.
Yeah, they imitate. They are sponges and copycats of both words and actions. And I think that for me, that's actually the part that it's like, oh yeah, words,
Right.
Hand actions. And sometimes we wish they weren't such good imitators, right?
We do sometimes wish that, don't we? Along all of the lifespan of children's ages, right? Even when they're launched, we wish they wouldn't imitate us.
Ooh, wish I hadn't taught you that.
Yes.
Unintentionally taught you that.
Exactly.
Are there any specifics that come to mind for you? I think every parent has these kinds of stories of like, ugh.
Absolutely. And, yeah. And I think early on in my parenting journey, one that really has stuck out, and I share it all the time as I'm teaching child development, is my oldest child, when she was learning to talk, right? So, you know, that 14, 16, 18 month age, she began to use the word this. Like, the word this was one of her first words. And as a child development, you know, background person, parenting educator, I did not expect the word this, T-H-I-S, to, you know, make that list of first words. And I was kind of surprised, because I learned about this one day when she was pointing at her blanket, her favorite blue blankie, and said this. And I thought, yes, this is your blanket. This, she said, and she shook her head yes, pointing at her blanket, this. And I said, yes, blanket. And she shook her head no, this. And I thought, oh my gosh, my child thinks that the word for this blue fuzzy thing is this. And then I had to, like, you know, all of a sudden your brain is rewinding all these conversations you've had. And I kept thinking, well, of course she would think it's called this, because isn't that what we say? Do you want this? Do you want this? Don't you want this? And so, yes, modeling is actions and words. And my very first, you know, word that my oldest child said was this, because that's how we described everything. And so since that time, I have definitely reminded myself and others to, you know, be careful what you're modeling and what you're saying. It might all be this.
It's all this. You want this?
You want this?
Like, of course we say that. Do you want this?
Of course. Do you want this?
Do you want? Oh, okay. Yeah.
How about you?
I actually have an example. I do definitely have my own, but I think of an example that one of our friends and coworkers says when she used to do family childcare. So they used to brush teeth after lunch. And so, you know, they'd all brush teeth, including her. And all the kids, when they were done brushing teeth, like, bang their toothbrush on the sink. Like, tick, tick, tick. And she always was just like, okay, like, why did they do that? Like, where did they learn this? And so for a long time, every kid, when they'd brush their teeth, before they'd put it away. And so, you know, she's brushing her teeth with them, modeling. She's like tapping the water off of it. She was tapping the water off of her toothbrush before she put it away. And she's like,
oh,
it's me. They think that's a part of the process of brushing your teeth, is to tap your toothbrush. They didn't know she was just like, oh, shaking off that last bit of the water. They just know, like, okay, you brush, and then before you put it away, you tap it on the sink. And so, yeah, exactly. you know, gave kind of a words, like, yep, they're soaking in our words that we use. And I even think of my littlest or older one, like a phrase that seems not like a big deal when I say it as a grown up. Like, I would, like, what the heck? Okay. And then when I heard her say it, I was like, oh, please don't say that. I won't say that anymore. I'm sorry.
And it's, like, in perfect context too, right?
Yes. She's like, what the heck? Okay, I'm sorry. Please don't say that. I need to not say that. So yeah, lots of examples, I'm sure, that every listener has of times we wish our modeling didn't pay off quite so well.
Exactly.
Words and actions. And we know, you know, we gave kind of little kid examples, and I feel like those are the really funny ones. Like, that's when it's the best, because it's like, oh man, I didn't even know you were watching that.
Exactly.
But we know that our kids model across all ages and stages, right?
They do. They do. And if you think about the things that, you know, developmentally they're learning at the time, it totally makes sense what they're imitating and modeling as well. So, you know, I gave the example of the word this. Well, during that time frame, infants are having a language explosion. And so absolutely, they're really listening. And then as they become toddlers, their whole idea is of growing is centered around that independence, autonomy. And, you know, toddlers are me, mine, I do it. And they want to do everything on their own. They want to put their clothes on themselves, their shoes on. They want to zip their coats. And they've been watching you do it on your own. And so developmentally, their little body and brain says, I do it, mine, me. And as you think about modeling and mentoring and what our role is, yes, it is, you know, do we put our socks on one sock and then a shoe, or do we put two socks on and then two shoes? Those are things that they're watching and learning from us, right?
Absolutely. They're soaking it. And yeah, the way you like explain that of our toddler watches us walk around and do stuff, does mm-hmm. stuff. Like I do stuff by myself all day. Like I get my own food and I put on my own clothes and I get myself ready and
And you solve and, your I mean, own problems?
I know they're working on independence. Yeah, I solve problems.
Yes.
I know my toddler's working on independence, but the idea of he watches me walk around all day doing all my stuff by myself. Mm-hmm. Of course I do it.
Yes.
Like, of course he says I do it.
Yes. Yes.
And he does, you know, whatever it is we do, we climb up on our chair by ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no wonder he wants to get in his chair by himself.
Exactly.
That modeling all the time coming through.
It does. And then when you think about preschoolers, they're in that stage of social development. I'm going outside of the house. I'm maybe mm-hmm. going to preschool. I'm maybe spending time with neighbors and friends and grandparents away from you. I might be going to daycare. And so they're learning developmentally how to be apart from you and being involved in those interactions. So what kind of things might they be showing that we have modeled them?
Yes. I think so much of how we interact with people, mm-hmm. And especially, you know, in this age of preschool and honestly, even into school, you know, at preschool, they're just kind of learning what these rules and norms are at school. And then in school age, they're really practicing them a lot more in different contexts and stuff. But so much of the sharing, one we've been talking about at my house is how we compromise with a friend.
Yeah.
So like when my daughters talked about, well, I want to do it this way and they wanted to do it that way. And we have different rules is what she said. Like they want to make the rules and I want to make the rules because my rules are better. and so like we're teaching that skill of compromise and we're hopefully modeling it, right? Like, what does it look like? Okay. You want this. I want this. How could we find a way to get parts of both? And so even modeling that with my daughter, showing her like, okay. So I think we do a lot of modeling around the like how we interact with other people at this stage.
Absolutely. And yeah. We hope that what we're modeling, you know, sticks with them essentially because we're yes. not there to see them practice it out and play it out. And so it really mm-hmm. does become that kind of age of first realizing that our children are going out sort of representing us yes. and representing our parenting. And, you know, we begin to wonder, what is my child saying, doing, and how are they acting when I'm not around? And that's where some of this parent shaming and guilt comes in about this age, right? Because our children yes. are not with us 24/7 anymore all the time.
Mm-hmm. And they're telling our family secrets. They're blabbing about us to the world. And when we're modeling things for them, like, oh, I wish that wasn't what you had chosen to tell people.
Exactly. Oh, gosh.
But I do think this is where we really, at this age, we see so much of the modeling and mentoring overlap. I mean, at yes. every stage, but we use our modeling to really teach our kids, you know, these skills. And especially, yeah, at this age where we're going to model it with them so that they can do it, right? We can mentor so they can mm-hmm. do it with someone else.
Exactly.
But really at all the stages.
Exactly. Well, and then they come into the preteen and teen years, right? So, you know, we talked about independence as toddlers and we've said this before. And research tells us that, you know, the teen brain, preteen brain ends up being kind of a big toddler brain because it's so full of hormones and mm-hmm. you know, growing, et cetera. The brain connections are still firing away. And so they're beginning to be able to they think independently. They are definitely out and about with others, and they might be calling us out more often about, you know, are we doing what we said we would do? Well, you said you were going to make it this way, do it this way, and I don't see you doing that, which can cause some parental child conflict, correct?
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, this new phase of independence, mm-hmm. you know, different than the toddler phase of independence, if they want to zip their own jacket. But yeah, they're a little bit wiser and more mature, and they can notice when we're inconsistent. Mm-hmm. If we refer back to that word, that the modeling at this age might open a door for them to call us out on maybe mm-hmm. being a little bit of a hypocrite. Like, nah, you said this, but then you didn't. Like,
exactly.
All right, busted, right?
Yes. And, you know, as we think about that, I always bring back that word in of respect and that whole idea of what are we modeling, and are we modeling respect? Are we talking to our children in a respectful way because we want them to speak respectfully to us? Are we talking about others with them in a respectful way? And, you know, sometimes we might get into this negative cycle of talking badly about someone else in front of them. And, you know, maybe it's another adult that they interact with, whether it be, you know, at school or out in the community. And they're picking up on how we speak about that person, what we think about that person behind, you know, the doors of our own home. And we have to recognize that they may go out and take that negative phrasing, those negative words, that negative respect, and actually put it into action because their brains aren't fully developed. And so we really do, at these stages of preteens and teens, need to make sure that, you know, what we're saying in front of them, they are still not old enough to control their emotions. And so how they behave in public is going to reflect back on us and may reflect back on things that we've done, you know, in front of them.
Absolutely. And the way that our views can translate into like their actions,
exactly.
I think is a huge part of what you just said, that like, okay, so right now there's this huge group of, you know, they now teach math differently than they did when most parents mm-hmm. were in school, right? Common Core. And so if we say to our kids, well, this math is stupid. This Common mm-hmm. Core stuff doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. This is dumb, whatever. That could translate, you know, right? Our words might translate to them saying, I don't need to do my math homework.
Exactly.
And so, like, you're so right that the way we talk about it and talk about other people and other things totally can translate to the choices, the actual behaviors and actions that they have at this stage. And I think, you know, we talk a lot about how we talk about other people and other things, but also how we talk to them.
Yes.
Right? Like how we talk to our kids at this age. Like, don't yell at me. Like I yell at you as I yell at to you.
As I yell at yeah.
Right?
As my child yells up the stairs and I yell back down, don't yell. Come up and talk to me. Oh, yeah. Wait a second. Well, I think I was just yelling.
Oops.
Yeah. It's a cycle. Yeah. Vicious cycle. Yeah.
I was saying lifelong, right? Lifelong.
Yes. Yes.
So we do know that, yeah, our older kids can really start to notice when that modeling, you know, but we can use it as a positive tool at this stage too, right? Modeling, like, I'm really frustrated with you. Like, mm-hmm. we're going to have to talk about this later. You know, there's all kinds of modeling we can still do for them at this stage. Even I think of kind of that mentoring ties right back in again, like showing them how to do laundry, showing them how to split household like chores and tasks. Mm-hmm. Those are all modeling things that teach them skills they need to know. 100%. These all just overlap.
They do. They do.
They do. But luckily that brings us right into some tips and strategies that we have, right?
Yes.
So most of us know what modeling is. It's a matter of reflecting on it, right? Like,
it is.
Okay, how does my behavior model for my kids? So we have strategies on what you can do, since most of us really know what the model is.
And I think that is one thing that makes this season different from some of the other seasons, is that whole idea that this is really about us And I'm giving a hint, aren't I? Okay, never mind. I'm gonna go right to
my stroke of genius
strategies. Okay, so the first one is, so as a parent, do you do as you say as you do? Because it's really not fair to tell our kids, you know, don't shout and then shout at them, right? It might sound something like, hey, if I'm late tonight, I'm going to go ahead and let you know. And if you're going to be late, I would appreciate that you would let me know. So kind of that give and take. If I expect this of you, I also expect it of myself. You know, I can't say, oh, hey, you're the only one that has to put your dishes in the dishwasher. But I actually have to put my dishes in the dishwasher too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do as you say as you do.
Yes.
Monkey see, monkey do, right?
Right, exactly.
Oh, and Lori actually already touched on this one, this big idea of respect. We're showing respect to other people and to our kids. So saying things like, I expect you to speak respectfully to me, mm-hmm. means that they can say it back to us, right? That modeling. And so even saying, I expect you to speak respectfully, so I will speak respectfully to you. Mm-hmm. And one part of this that's an important part, again, with the modeling, this may require us to apologize to our kids when we don't hold up our end of the deal. Mm-hmm. When I say I will speak respectfully to you and then I raise my voice or I'm short with you or I say something unkind, mm-hmm. that means I might have to own up to it. And again, great news. That means you get to model it for our kids. Exactly. That everybody's not perfect, us included.
Heavens no.
So yeah, showing respect and then making sure you hold up your end of the deal.
And that really leads into the third strategy, which is to just be honest about how you're feeling. And I love this piece of it because what I feel like I've become most comfortable with in my parenting journey, now that one's launched, right, is that I feel like I can really be more authentic mm-hmm. about when I'm frustrated, sad, happy, ecstatic, overjoyed, disappointed. And mm-hmm. I feel like I don't have to hide feelings. And maybe that's because of their age, but I really feel like, you know, maybe I should have been more authentic and real all the time early on. I feel like I maybe was, but I know there are times that I wasn't. And mm-hmm. children are so able to feel what we're saying and what we're feeling that it is kind of silly for us to think that they don't, you know, that they aren't feeling what we're feeling. Totally. Actually, research with heart math says that our heart rate can impact their heart rate. So the idea that the strategy is to just be real about how you feel is really important.
Totally. And I even think of the context in my co-parenting relationship. If my spouse is being a little short with me, not short with me, you know, but like, in our house, we say a grouch, like, but you know, and then they're like, you know what? I just had a really long day at work. The context is like, oh, and I think that's okay for our kids to see too. Like, you know what? I am really tired today. I'm having a hard time being patient. Mm. Absolutely. The modeling. Oh, the modeling.
Exactly.
And then the final one, which is to make sure that we tell our kids explicitly that even when we are angry or, you know, when our temper maybe gets the best of us or our emotions get the best of us, that we still love them. And I feel like this is something we, like, our kids know, right? I tell them all the time. But it's really good to explicitly say, like, I was really disappointed you did that. And mm-hmm. I still love you.
And I still love you.
And I still love you. So that's honestly not even just modeling. I mean, it is, but it's also responding to their needs, right? They still need parents who love them and
they do
all of these other things. And so being able to explicitly tell our kids that even when we're frustrated. So
I love those.
Those are the strategies for modeling. Easy to say, right? Easy to understand what modeling is. Harder to practice.
especially when we maybe are feeling stressed or when we aren't feeling well. You know, those are the times when it becomes really much more difficult to use those strategies and to tap into them. So just a good reminder that, you know, modeling is also happening when we don't feel good, and it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay to be authentic and real during those times.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So I think that brings us to our stop, breathe, talk space, where we bring in our producer, Mackenzie DeYoung, and she gets to ask us a question.
She does. But
I'm a little giddy about it.
I was pausing because I thought you were going to reveal the secret. And the secret is that I may or may not have given them the question up front.
Yes!
Because
finally.
Because, I know. After a whole year, I gave them the question beforehand. But that's
we have been nudging her, right? Usually it's like an off the cuff. We don't know what she's going to ask. And we have like for so long been like, why don't you just like, what do you think? Like, what do you think? I mean, it'll give
you
me more time to
tell
think.
Us.
I'll be way more articulate. No, nothing. Today we got it.
Yeah, we did. So we were kind of talking through how do we want to summarize. Mackenzie was like, I have bright ideas. And I was like, why don't we just do that as our stop, breathe, talk? So my question for today is, at the end of this season on our RPM 3 model, which, by the way, is an acronym.
Oh, thank you for checking.
From previous episodes.
Yes.
Do you have, well, first of all, you want to give us another, like, just quick summary of what we've talked about throughout the season to wrap us up here. And then did you have any reflections or revelations from the season that you would like to share?
I do.
Okay, go.
I do have one. It was hard for me to hold my breath for you to stop, like, to stop because I was like, I want to tell them so bad.
Kenzie, stop talking.
Actually, this is, like, a revelation that I had. And, of course, at the end of the season, after we've recorded basically all of these, I did the same thing in season two. We realized, mm-hmm. like, the six superpowers of self-care. We realized it in the last episode. Mm-hmm. So just being consistent, guys. But the realization, so we've talked about, like, RPM3. It's a parenting model. It's a parenting approach. It's research-based. And I was like, and I still feel like there's a better way to describe it. It's a job description. Uh-huh. Guys, it's a parenting job description. And so it is. It's the tasks and opportunities and responsibilities, right? If you were looking for a job, they lay out what some of the duties are. Okay, when uh-huh. I look at the parenting job description, I'm going to respond to my kids' needs.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to prevent risky behavior. Uh-huh. I'm going to monitor, right? I'm going to keep track of them. I'm going to need to mentor them and teach them things and raise them into adults. And I'm going to need to model my behavior for them. Like, mm-hmm. those are the parenting responsibilities and opportunities, like a job description.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And like, it keeps going, right? That's like, wait, there's more. So this idea, you know, in our first episode of the season, we talked about the consistent, effective, active, attentive. And we talked about like that self-talk around those words. And that's like the performance review. Like, okay, so like in a job, you have your job description, which is the RPM 3. And then, you know, a way a performance review should work is that there's like these criteria of things you try to meet. And again, it's not for like one day. Like, were you effective today? It's like mm-hmm. over a long period, like a year.
Mm-hmm. I love these.
So it's a job description. And then it's performance measures, like long-term perspective. It's a job description, RPM 3. Parenting job description. Can we call this season that? Parenting job description.
I think we can.
As you're going through that, I'm like, what goals would I set? Because that's always part of the performance review process, right? What goals could I set around this for the next year, 3 years, 5 years?
And so I would say to myself, honestly, my like goal is to be more consistent in my mm-hmm. parenting. Like I'm using those I don't like to say performance measures.
But I'm using those ideas,
those concepts. And yeah, I can set goals. And it's not a matter of because I'm not doing a good job. It's a mm-hmm. matter of I want to improve in this. Like this is mm-hmm. a thing I'm working on in my parenting role.
Right.
Okay, yes. That's my revelation. That's right. My show of genius I've been bragging about.
Well, and I think it's a great way to look at it because as you think about, we've covered all the entire age span. You know, we went from infants to launched when we talked mm-hmm. about each of the acronyms and the idea of we have these roles and tasks during each of their ages, like we need to monitor them at every age. We need to respond at every age. We need to, you know, so it happens at every age. And what would my goals be? Well, my goal would be to, you know, be active and consistent. And I might add in authentic and real and respectful. And, you know, so I feel like this whole season has been about filling the toolbox for your job as a parent in this lifelong journey. And we always say you are always a parent. Once you're a parent, you're always a parent.
Yes.
And here are some tools. You can choose this tool or that tool or this tool. You might put away specific tools during a certain time of their life. And, you know, I look at the tools in my house. I don't use a hammer for every project. You know, sometimes I use a wrench or a screwdriver, or sometimes I just need some tape. Like, just find me some tape, right?
Yes.
It would not be
useful. Things together.
Yeah, yes. It would not be useful to have a hammer when you need tape.
No.
Oh, so yeah, there's so much. Yeah, I've always loved, since I learned about it, this like model or approach of RPM3 and thinking about it as like, what am I getting into when I become a parent? Like, these are the things. Mm-hmm. And like, and that research shows can like help us accomplish our parenting goals of raising great kids. We know there's more than one way to respond and more than one way to monitor, mentor, model, you know, prevent, like all of them. Right. There's more than one way to raise great kids, but these are the kinds of things we're signing up to do.
Right.
That research tells us helps raise great kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm Woo-hoo. Getting all sappy. Oh, I love it.
Oh, we're also at that like 1 year mark, not, like we're at that 1 year mark on our podcast. So we're getting to that point where we're like, oh, it's been a year. Let's get sappy.
it's been a process. And I think that what I have enjoyed over this year is that we've allowed it to be a process. Mm-hmm. And that comes back to parenting. Parenting is a process. We have parented the podcast. And we have modeled, hopefully. We've been real. We've been authentic.
I've done a lot of monitoring.
Yeah, you have. And preventing.
And preventing. Oh, yeah, we are. We're full of sap today, aren't we?
Yeah. But I also want to say, we've reflected on the season, but reflecting on the year as well. Thank you to everyone who's been with us for the year. Hopefully you found something useful throughout the year and stick with us. I do want to say, just as kind of a shameless plug, if you found in the last year that you found something we've shared useful and you know somebody that might also find it useful, go ahead and share it with them. Either the video, the audio, the blog, whatever. Just, you know, go ahead. We would greatly appreciate that. But I will let you go and wrap things up.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We finally got it. We finally got her.
We did.
Don't get used to this. I won't let you know for a while again. I'll like keep
it. Okay. Okay.
Bye. I will say it did still require me to stop and breathe, right? To not interrupt her before I talk. So yeah, that's season 4. Thinking all about this parenting job description, the role that we have as parents and the approach that we take and what research tells us helps raise great kids. Today, we got to dive specifically into this idea of modeling and tapped into a few strategies for how we can actually practice that, right?
We did.
So that's season 4. What's next?
That's a wrap. So season 5, we are going to take a little break before we go into our next season. And I think that the next season will be hopefully just as interesting and fun, but we're really going to take a look at all the different ages. And so all the way from launch to, you know, those things that are happening in those teenage brains down to the toddlers and the infants and, you know, really just talk about different age groups and age spans and what it is that they could possibly be thinking in that brain of theirs. I know that sometimes we wish we could read their minds, right? Well, we're going to hopefully try to give you some nuggets on how to read their minds.
Yes. And it's honestly one of our most requested topics. People are like, tell me about my teenager or tell me about my toddler. And it so is. We're going to be breaking it down a little bit. And so it might be a little different from our other seasons in that, you know, every episode kind of fits every age. We'll dive into each one. And I think it'll still give great insight of like, okay, this is why my child behaved this way as an infant, or this is why these things happened. And I'm ready for these next things that are coming because I've heard all about them. So still tune into every episode. Just know it'll be kind of a different approach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always remember people telling me when my kids were really, really little, or when I only had one and she was an infant, oh, you're just going to love every stage. Every stage they go through ends up being my favorite. And I have to say that is true.
Yeah,
that is so true. Like, I love the stage that, you know, my oldest who's launched is in. I love the stage that, you know, my college age daughter is in. I'm loving the stage that my high schooler is in. And, you know, maybe is that part of the parenting job description too? That I don't know.
Yes, but of course.
So yes, come back to us in season 5 and be sure to join us. Mm-hmm. Along this journey of our Science of Parenting podcast. And remember that you can subscribe to our weekly audio podcast on Apple or Spotify or your favorite podcast app. You can watch the show on video each week and join us on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, we're called Science of Parent. But we would love it if you would see our content in your feed.
Absolutely. Please do come along with us as we tackle the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and the research and reality all around the science of parenting.
The Science of Parenting is hosted by Lori Kothals and Mackenzie Johnson, produced by Mackenzie DeYoung, with research and writing by Barbara Dunn Swanson. Send in questions and comments to parenting@iastate.edu and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. This institution is an equal opportunity provider. For the full non-discrimination statement or accommodation inquiries, go to www.extension.iastate.edu/diversity/ext.